Everything that you are, He is worthy to occupy every part of you. That's where true peace will come. We all want peace, I know that. As the word came out earlier, even in the middle of your storms, God can bring you true peace. Jesus said Himself, I give you peace. Not as the world is giving you. Because the world will give you peace if you leave them alone. Sometimes. And they sneak around and slap you in the face. But when we are following the Master, when God is truly our God, where Jesus is truly our Lord and our Savior, and we're surrendered to Him, and there's a peace within us, that you have to work pretty hard, Fernando, to get me upset. I'm not saying you can't. But how does that happen? By dwelling on His Word. Amen? That's one of the greatest keys there is in the walk that we have, is that He is our consuming fire in our life. That we just can't make a decision. We can't do anything until we read this Word. To man and courage. And a lot of times you can tell, you know, if somebody's been in the Word or not in the Word, just by a lot of times their reactions. We all have days probably where you get up late and you gotta run out the door. You don't have time for your morning prayer or devotion. You know, you've probably been there. It's like your whole world's upside down for that day, right? Because, man, you broke your routine. Now, still going down the highway or out on the combine or baling hay. If you got there real quick, you got time to spend with the Lord. And, oh, man, you start speaking to God and next thing you know, you get this peace over you again. But that is something we have. And let's share a pen, Chuck. You share a pen on your baler, then you lose your peace. But, you know, that's what happens. But dwelling on His Word to be the number one consuming thing in our life. You know? I'm not upset right now. You got Dunkin' Donuts in front of me. You know what I'm saying? I would think you're going to sit this close up front. You have one for the pastor, you know, but... No, don't buy me one. No. Don't do that. Well, thank you. But, you know, if you look at this past week for a moment, look back, was there any time that you lost your joy? Was there any time that you lost your cool? Any time that you ran your mouth and you shouldn't have? Yeah, don't tell me. I'm just asking you. You think, well, what led to that? You know, sometimes we are so easily offended. You know that? You look at me, Dixie, and say, oh, Pastor, your hair looks nice today. It didn't look nice yesterday? You're like, you're surprised that my hair looks good. You know? See, I take things to be offensive. So I say, oh, thanks, Dixie. I appreciate that. And not being offended that yesterday my hair didn't. But see how quickly we can take offense to things. And, you know, and we can say, well, Satan comes along and steals our joy. But, folks, a lot of times it's just ourselves. And, you know, because we're not making ourselves submit to the Holy Spirit. We want to go to heaven, but we don't want to have someone tell us how to get there. Amen? You know, like traveling down to Virginia last week. I want to get there, but poor Vincent, he drove. I kept telling him how to get there. Because I knew these shortcuts, and we started off a 368-mile trip, and it was like 440 miles. Coming home, we took the shorter one, because I listened to that little voice thing talking to me. But if I had just been quiet, I mean, I don't know everything. Amen. I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming. To learn to yield, how many times I have to do that. And coming home again, I set my GPS, I listened to it to the T. I mean, we were on this road and that road. I wouldn't waver. I know a shortcut. I said, nope, I'm not going to do it. And we were home with less than 8 hours. And for me, that's fantastic, you know. Half the time, it's a 2-day trip for me to go down there. So I thank the Lord for that. But knowing who we are in Christ, and we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and we've been talking about how He indwells with us. He just surrounds us. You know, but again, I put it this way. The Holy Spirit feeds on the Word of God. Now you study the Word of God, you read the Word of God, you put more and more of His Word into your library, into your spirit, and when the time comes, and boy, you don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to us. And before I get too deep in here, sometimes I forget some of my notes, but if you have someone that you've been praying for, you got something you've been battling with, and you want a prayer partner after service today, let me know. Tell me what it is that you've been into, and we'll get some information, and I'll dig up some scriptures and stuff, and I'll stand in the gap with you. You know, it's just kind of like, you ever go to the doctor's office, and they check you out, and there's something wrong with you? They're not quite sure what it is, so he brings up, nowadays it's on a computer, and start going through this, hey, it could be this, it could be that, you know? Oh, here it is! That's because they practice medicine. Because it's always evolving, okay? Well, in Christianity, I believe we're doing the same thing. We're practicing following Jesus. And the more we get involved in the scriptures, and oh, I'm going to find a scripture for us to stand on. Because we stand on the Word of God. That spoken Word changes things in the lives of many people. And so again, after the services, come with me if you want to, and we'll write it down. Or you write it down, the information, and bring it to me next week. But prayer is so important. And that's where God's been taking us here lately, with the Holy Spirit. You know, to have you understand who lives inside of you and what He has equipped you to do. It wasn't by chance that you were living in these days. Understand that. You were chosen by God to be in this time frame. Now, we can choose whether we're going to do what God wants us to do or not. We can choose whether we're going to, man, bring Him glory, where we're going to sit back a little bit and just kind of coast into heaven. That's up to us. Myself, I'm going to go out just a shouting and a screaming. You know what I'm saying? I want to be all that God wants to work through me. And I believe that's why you're here also. But His name is so precious. His name is so awesome. That anybody ever play a game in school? Well, of course you play games. Simon says... Have you? Didn't they? Okay. What was it, Simon and not Charlie? Or Starkey? I don't know. Well, let me borrow it. Have you played it before? No, it's a quick one. No way, am I? So, if you never played Simon Says before, it's a game where you tell people what to do, and they have to obey. Huh?
You just won't tell them what to do.
Once in 47 years, you can't disobey me, okay? Okay, but you know, it starts off like, hey, touch your elbow, touch your elbow. Simon says, touch your elbow. Oh, wow. Simon says, touch your nose. Simon says, jump on one foot. Scratch your head. I didn't say Simon Says. Oh, man. Simon Says, scratch your nose, your elbow, and your left foot, and turn around backwards. All right, thank you. That had nothing to do with my sermon. I was going to make a full hour here this morning. That's all. No, just kidding you. But you know, when I said, Simon Says, set your elbow, he did it. So when we decide we're going to play this game, Simon Says, we get involved with it because we want to, right? And I didn't drag her up. I said, hey, come here, honey. She could say, no, I'm not coming up here. But she agreed to play the game. And I started learning that it's true. If I say Simon Says, she's going to do it. If I don't say Simon Says, nothing's going to happen. They kind of remind you of anything? Somebody by the name of Jesus? Think of that. So a lot of times we want good things to take place. We want to do things that will honor God. We want to do things that's good for people. But we forget the authority that we have and whose name we have it in. And things just don't work. It's to the name of Jesus. And as I was instructing her to do things, as she started doing it, when I said, Simon Says, man, I get more and more confidence. That's amazing. I mean, that last one was, you know, touch your head, scratch your nose, turn around in circles, and jump up in 1 foot or whatever. I mean, I was just loading up. I had confidence she's going to do it because Simon said to do that. And folks, that's where the Master wants us at. He wants us to have confidence in the name of Jesus, that that spoken name of Christ and spoken word will do what it says it's going to do. And then I'm telling you what, that's when you're going to see the walls coming down. That's when you start seeing the chains are being broken. You're going to find yourself being set free as you apply it to your own life. But for those of the heavy burden on your heart, you're going to see tremendous things taking place as God works through us. Now, I pray that each one of us here has a prayer burden. And what I mean by that, there's something on your heart that you've been praying for, interceding for. And that's a good thing. That's what Christians are to do. And never give up. But sometimes it's, okay, let's add some more fuel to our arsenal. And that's the Word of God. You know, I say, God watch over Daryl today. Okay, that's cool. But if I say, oh, Lord, watch over Daryl today, because you say in Psalms 91, the angels have been dispatched around him to watch over me. Your Word also says in Isaiah that he will not stumble, he will not hurt his foot. Start speaking the Word of God out. And what am I doing? I'm giving assignments to our angels to watch over us. See how important that is? That's awesome. You know, that's what God wants to show us so much. And he wants us to be on fire for him. Amen. I mean, he wants to get the point, hey, it's Sunday, I get to go to church. Wow! Woo-hoo! Man, I got 4 hours yet before you got a shower. Man, we're going to have my brothers and sisters, we're going to praise the Lord. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to lay hands on one another. Hear that word of God. Ooh, we're going to tear down the walls, man. God, I will set somebody free today. Lord, just touch me today and just strengthen me. Lord, I can be all that you want me to be. Woo, let's go. And then when it comes 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I say, well, guys, we got to close at 3 o'clock. You say, oh, Pastor, come on. One more hour. One more hour. Amen. Yeah. Now we're not going to 3. But that's where our heart is. You know what I'm saying? That's where he wants us to be at. But in I'm going to jump around this morning. You write this down if you want to, or just follow. But in the spoken word of God, Mark 16, we call it the Great Commission. And Jesus is speaking in Mark 16. I'm in verse 15. But he gives instructions to us. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And you preach the gospel the way you live your life. Amen? I mean, that's amazing. I mean, we can all stand up here and preach. I mean, you take my notes right now and come up and start preaching my sermon, okay? But it's not the preaching that does everything. It's how you live your life. When you leave here today and you go wherever you might go, it's how you're living life is the greatest gospel, the greatest preaching you're ever going to do. It's going to be a fantastic sermon and bring God glory, or it's going to be a... We got to choose that, right? And how do we choose not to have a... Well, number one thing is maybe hanging around different people. Ever get around somebody and take you down real quick? Okay. Well, share the gospel, but don't let them be part of your mainstream. Understand that you need to be around brothers and sisters that are going to encourage you, that's going to strengthen you, that's going to confirm the Word of God with you, that's going to speak into you when you have a down day, and they're going to bring the Word of God to you. They're going to share a gospel word to you. You know what I'm saying, Daryl? They're not going to say, oh, I agree. Or do you know what this person said over here the other day about you? No. They're going to be there to uplift you and strengthen you. Because God's got awesome plans for each one of us. And that's why we need to come together as a community to encourage one another. But he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And I won't go into great detail, but there's three baptisms that the Bible speaks of. The first one, the number one, is being baptized with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. That takes place before you're even born again. What happens? The Word of God comes over you and brings conviction. Amen? That leads you to being baptized by Christ, Him coming and living in you. Then baptized in water for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So, again, that's a great teaching. But it's talking about the number one thing is when conviction comes over you, when the Holy Spirit is baptized, when that Word of God is bringing conviction to your heart, that's where it all starts. Then we have to decide how we're going to respond to it. Amen? That's awesome. Be baptized. But he who disbelieves shall be condemned. Otherwise, Holy Spirit brings conviction to us and we reject it. I know, but you know, my sins aren't as bad as the rest of you guys. You know, you all can go to hell, but you know, I'm not. My sins ain't happening. I'm condemned. It's out of love. When you get convicted of your sin, it's God's love coming to you. Say, man, we need to correct this. You ever do something and you shouldn't have done it, said it, and you get convicted, like, oh man, I have. The next thing you want to do is correct it. No matter how much humility you're going to have, it's humble yourself to, hey, I shouldn't run my mouth. I shouldn't. You set me off. You have a way of setting me off sometimes. You know that? Not you, Mary. Don't get mad at me, okay? That's my wife talking to me, okay? Bring it out in the open. Get it resolved. He says, now these signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. Is that what he said? Jesus, in my name? Otherwise, he's saying, Simon says, in my name you will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And all that is done to the name of Jesus. It's not the name of Starkey. And we read in scripture before where they were laying hands on people saying, in the name of Jesus, the one that Paul preaches, and that sons of Scivia, and look what happened to them. So it's knowing Christ, who He is. And how do you get near the risen Savior? By being in His Word. And the more that you hear His Word, the more it's going to grow inside of you, the more faith that you're going to have. You won't be distracted. In Matthew 20:18, in Matthew 28:18, He speaks this to us. Now I'm reading, I believe it is the Passion Translation. You might have a different translation. I'll share with you here why I did this in a moment. Make sure I got the right one up here, yeah. But it says, and Jesus came close to them and said, all the authority of the universe have been given to me. You can't get any higher on that, can you? I mean, now, go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you. And never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age. Now, that is written, I can't say the name right sometimes, but Jesus spoke in Aramaic, okay? They translated in Aramaic, and some of the Bibles is not translated, they do not have some of the Greek manuscripts where it says, as my Father has sent me, so I send you. But in the original writings, it said that as my Father sent you, I'm going to send you also. Sent me. So what he's saying, go in my authority, go in my name. That's our charge. Think of that. Each one of us. We got power. There's nothing that can stop you except yourself. Out of fear. Now, not fear that you're scared of the Lord. You get fear at times that you might fail. Amen? And folks, don't ever be a failure. We don't do anything as a Christian. Unless the Holy Spirit speaks to us, amen? Then you say, oh, do we? Yeah. Do you ever get a feeling that, oh man, I need to pray for that person? Ever get that feeling? And then you think, I'm not worthy. Here am I to pray for somebody. Have you ever been there before? We got to understand our enemy gets in your head. when the Holy Spirit says, hey, I want you to pray for that person. Now, you can be laying hands on somebody, but there's regulations on that to a degree. But when you say, oh, Rita wakes up in the morning, man, I ought to pray for Pastor Starkey. And the Holy Spirit says, why? You got Carol out there. Okay? Amen? Well, maybe my wife is busy right now, wherever it is. Yeah, I'm a person. You know, I'm a follower of Jesus. I just happen to be behind the pulpit. I need prayer. I think I get an amen on that one, okay? So don't be intimidated by any titles, okay? I'm a pastor. Some of you guys here are cooks. Some of you are farmers. Some of you are electricians. Some of you are fathers. I mean, we all got a title of some sort. But the main thing is that we are followers of Jesus. And so, hey, Father, I just lift up Starkey this morning. I don't know what's going on, Lord, but I just speak your blessings over him, that he'll be strengthened today, that he'll have a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, God, that you will guide him today. And I just bind the evil one from coming against the plans that you had made for Pastor Starkey today, in Jesus' name. There, now you're on about your day. Amen. You know? I've had people come up to me before, and I've went to other people before, hey, man, brother, you was on my heart this morning. I've been praying for you. Oh, wow. And they share with you what was going on. And that prayer you intercede for them made a whole difference thing in their life. You know? So you don't want to be intimidated. But again, what we're doing is in his name. The authority that we have. Now, in Romans 10:17, I got bookmarks today. You're proud of me. In Romans 10:17, again, this is coming out of the Passion Translation. It says, now faith then is birth in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the Anointed One. So most of your scripture you're reading right now says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Amen? But it breaks it down that faith then is birth in a heart. How do you build your faith up? It's birth in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the Anointed One. Otherwise, when you read your scriptures, it is designed to build your faith. You know? Yeah, we do that here. We try to do that every Sunday when we ask for praise reports. And we got a praise report, man, what the Lord's done for you this week. And then what happens, people hear what you're giving them praise for. And it builds up, hey, he's not a respecter of persons. Man, what he's done for Daryl, he can do me in a like manner. It's allowing him full access to our life, to everything, and knowing, man, when you read that Word of God, it's not void. What can do you the best? Your government or the Word of God? Okay. Now, the Bible tells us to submit to our government. Amen. As long as you line up the Word of God. And it says us to submit to God. So, if God can do the most for us, should we not be in the Word more than we are in the government? Amen. And that's how we change inside. That's how our minds get straightened around. That's how depression leads. That's how we don't bite, backbiting one another. Having that Word of God. We get to the point that it's all about you, Charlie. It's not about me, it's about you, man. And you're sitting there, hey, Stark, it's all about you, man. Yeah, we get to the point that, man, it's watching out for one another and caring for one another. But if we ever have aught, otherwise disagreement with one another, we're obligated. Not a suggestion, you're obligated to come together and resolve that aught as brothers and sisters in Christ. We have disagreements. My wife and I ever disagree? Been married 47 years? Yeah, we might have one or two. But the thing of it is to come together. You ever been upset with somebody and not talk to them for a couple of days? Yeah, everybody's been married, shaking their heads. Yeah, peaceful. I'm dying you up. But you come together. You realize, man, I just wasted 2 days of my life. Why? Because I wouldn't either go apologize to somebody or I wouldn't confront somebody and say, hey, man, you hurt my feelings. And so we get that wedge builders, you know, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And folks, that's how Satan divides people, you know. I truly believe if you have aught with somebody or somebody have done you wrong, you owe it to them and to yourself to go to them and say, man, you hurt my feelings. And sometimes they don't know that they did, or other times they say, yeah, I know I did. I ran my mouth. I shouldn't have done it. Forgive me. And you come together and pray. Oh, God, I just thank you, Lord, for reuniting us. You know, and go on from there. But again, it's faith part. And why is faith so important? Well, I'm glad you asked me that. Let's turn to Mark 5:34. Actually, I'm going to go to Mark 21 and come forward, okay? But seeing what how important this is having faith in the Word of God. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Letting that Word of God to birth into you. Knowing, man, that Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit surrounded you. And what He has done in the past, He'll do again. If we'll allow Him to do this. But look here, He says that in verse 21, after Jesus returned from across the lake, a huge crowd of people quickly gathered around Him on the shoreline. Just then a man saw that it was Jesus. So he preached to the crowd and threw himself down at His feet. His name was Jairus, a Jewish official who was in charge of the synagogue. He pleaded with Jesus, saying over and over, please come with me. My little daughter is at the point of death, and she's only 12 years old. Come and lay hands on her and heal her, and she will live. Now right there, he is giving testimony. He has faith in Jesus. He has heard somewhere along the line that Jesus heals. He's heard testimony. Now he got a young one that is sick. He said, man, if I get to Jesus, get him to my daughter, she will live. Building that faith. Can you imagine if people who Jesus healed never shared their testimony? Think of that. In a way, it'd be kind of selfish in a way, wouldn't it? You think about it. You know, when Christ does something in our life, we should never be ashamed of it. Some things that He's done in your life isn't to be broadcast. Because it's really personal, amen? It is. There might come a day that personal thing that God has delivered you from, helped you with, He might have you share it one-on-one with somebody. Okay? Because someone's going through the same thing that you are. But, if you look in this case here, we're talking about healing. We're talking about miracles taking place. Man, if someone would say, well, I got this issue going on, whatever might be a physical issue right now, you say, oh, man, I'll tell you what. I had the same thing. I'll tell you what. Christ healed my body. I got in that word. I started reading the scriptures. I've been just speaking the scriptures out, praying with my wife together. Man, I tell you what, He delivered me for His glory. You know? Oh, wow. What scriptures did you use? What scriptures did you stand on? Yeah, and that's how we share. That's how we build up. That's how the Word of God works. By hearing it and then speaking it out and believing it. Faith comes by hearing. You might have low faith to start with, going back to Simon Says, touch your elbow. It worked. Simon Says, touch your elbow and nose. Wow. I know it might sound stupid comparing this to Simon Says, but it's letting your faith build as God does things in your life. As you hear testimony from other people, what Christ has done in their life to build up your faith. The whole book is, the Bible is built on what God has done. Designed to give us faith. But, you know, He's not done yet. We talk about the book of Acts. That's one book of the Bible that has not been completed yet. Because Christ is still moving. Christ is still doing things. He's still healing. He's still raising the dead. He's still restoring life. People are shaking off the darkness, coming to know Jesus. It's continuing on and on and on. If you was going to add to the book of Acts today, what would you write? You don't say it out loud, but you think, If I sat down today and figured on the last, I'll just take the last 23 years, and I was going to write down what Christ has done in me, for me, and through me, How many more pages would that be? Wow. Let's say 1,000. And Gail, you throw in your 1,000. And Rick, I mean, look what's going on. Yes, the scriptures are here to encourage us. But folks, but he is still alive. He's still doing what he started 2,000 years ago. And people need to know that. Amen? Some people don't know that. Some people think that after all the original 12 apostles passed away, that healing went out the door, all that. And that's a lie of the devil. That's a lie. The Holy Spirit is still just as strong today as he was. Well, he always been, but the last 2,000 years when he arrived on earth. His weakness is today is that the church is weak. Yeah, the church is waking up, and I keep sharing that all the time. But this one song that we sing, and I won't sing it for you, but I love it. But it starts off, what are you going to do today, Lord? What are you going to do today? Miracle, sign, or wonder, what are you going to do today? I mean, you ever come to church and say, what are you going to do today, Lord? Man, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, God? Man, we don't want the same thing. We want your power, God. We want your moving. Change us. I want to walk out here different. I want my mouth to be different. I want my outlook and life to be different, Lord. We don't want you to use me for your glory. And that's what, wow. I didn't hear an amen on that one. Maybe it's just me. I'm not sure. Amen. I don't count now. I had a milk got one. Mark 5, did I read yet? I don't remember. Oh, yeah, I started. 23, okay. Please come and lay your hands on her and heal her, and she will live. And Jesus went with them, and the huge crowd followed, pressing in on him from all sides. Now, in the crowd that day was a woman who had suffered horribly from continual bleeding for 12 years. She had endured a great deal under the care of various doctors, yet in spite of spending all she had on her treatments, she was not getting better, but worse. When she heard about Jesus' healing power, she pushed through the crowd and came up from behind him and touched his prayer shawl. There we go. When she heard about Jesus' healing power, somebody was talking. Someone was talking what Christ has done. And she got in her heart, in her spirit, man, if I just touch Jesus, if I just get to him, man, my body be whole. But she kept saying to herself, if only I could touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. As soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. And she knew it, for she could feel her body instantly being healed of her disease. Jesus knew at once that someone had touched him, for he felt the power that always surged around him had passed through him for someone to be healed. And we call that today the anointing. Ryan spoke about earlier today, the presence of the Lord. You felt the anointing of God in this place. The Holy Spirit within us, man, was connecting with the God of all creation. I mean, it's just like a landline. That's a cell phone with a wire on it for you younger folks. But you was connected and you knew that the presence of God was here. You couldn't deny it. In verse 31, the disciple answered, what do you mean, who touched you? Look at this huge crowd. They're all pressing up against you. But Jesus' eyes swept across the crowd looking for the one who had touched him for healing. And when the woman who experienced this miracle realized what had happened to her, she came before him trembling with fear and threw herself down at his feet saying, I was the one who touched you. And she told him her story of what just happened. Then Jesus said to her, daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Go with peace in your heart and be free from your sufferings. A key. Because you dared to believe, your faith. What moves the Word of God? What moves the Lord? Faith. I mean, how many other people in that crowd had problems that day? How many of them, I wonder, you know, I don't know, if you imagine what a posse looks like with some of these superstars, Elvis Presley or whatever, you know. Can you imagine people bumping into him all the time? Stand a second, Daryl. You'll be Elvis for a second, yeah? No. But they're trying to get him through the crowd, okay? And I keep bumping into him, okay? I really don't mean to, but man, there's so many people around us, my high lane, I can't stop doing it, okay? So now I want to be Jesus. Okay? And Jesus is going through the crowd, everybody's hanging around and stuff, you know. Out here is a woman, if I just touch Jesus, if I just get to him, I'll be healed. He's a healer. But around him, there's people bumping to him all the time. Here I am walking around, maybe I got arthritis right now, and I'm coming around you right now, okay? Or maybe I get the flu, or I got a disease, I'm sick, okay? I keep bouncing into you, and nothing happened to me. Why? Well, I have no faith in you. I'm just going on for the ride, man. I mean, this many people, or somebody's going to have a picnic somewhere, you know what I'm saying? So I'm hanging out with you, and I keep bouncing into you and stuff, because I have no faith in you. No faith at all. Somebody can say, hey, man, Jesus is a healer. Oh, that's cool, man. But I have no faith. So it wouldn't do me any good to keep running into you. But this is a cool thing while you're up here. I have faith. Let's say you don't have any faith. My faith can transfer the healing power of the Lord upon somebody. That's what we call intercessory prayer. See that? If my sister here had no faith, didn't have no idea who Jesus was, didn't have a relationship, no covenant with him, look what's taking place. I'm interceding for her. Wow. But just bumping into him, that's like sitting here this morning under the presence of the living God, man, you'd be turned upside down. Because he's in the presence of God. As you were saying, sharing earlier, you'll leave here today, step out into the world, and man, you say, well, I can't wait next Sunday again to get in that presence of God, which is awesome. But man, you can have it every place you go by his presence in your life. Quit thinking that you're not good enough. None of us are. It's a free gift, salvation. Think of that. Yeah, bumping you all the time. I'm done with the sermon here, but I just like run into you, Daryl. No. But that's what was going on, and look at the difference it made. So going back again, man, time goes so quick anymore. Going back to what I said earlier on your prayer life and stuff, if you have a prayer concern for yourself or a loved one, and you want me to get involved with praying with you, let me know, because can you imagine a double tag team? I mean, one can cause 1,000 to flee, 2, 10,000. Wow. 3, 4, 5. But yeah, scripture will stand on. We're going to see the mighty hand of God move. I want to see it move for his glory. And I know you want to see it for your loved ones. And my loved ones, even your enemies. You won't get to the point where your neighbor comes across your yard and picks up the dog poop that he put down there. Amen? And the power of God can do that. Prayer life can do that. It can change things like that. I got one more scripture here. I'm going to go to Luke. No, I shouldn't say poo in the church. I apologize. But dogs do it. Luke 18, verse 35. As Jesus and his followers arrived at Jericho, there was a blind beggar sitting on the roadside. When he heard the crowd approaching, he asked, "What's all this commotion about?" "It's Jesus," they said. "Jesus of Nazarene is passing by." The blind beggar shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity and show me mercy." So he knew who Jesus was. Think of that. Why? Because who? Somebody was talking about Jesus. Someone was saying what he was doing. Talking about his miracles. This blind beggar, he has faith. Jesus, he says, "Jesus, have pity and show me mercy." And those who were in front of the crowd scolded him and warned him to be quiet. Those who were in front of the crowd scolded him and warned him to be quiet. Where were they coming from? They're in the crowd. They're following the Messiah. The great physician. The healer. Where are their compassion at? Hey, Jesus! Hey, have pity on me! Hey! Hey! Show me mercy! Come on! Get up here. You're blind for a minute. Get up here. Sorry. Hey, come here. Come here. Come on. Excuse me. Hey, excuse me. Excuse me. Come on. We get Jesus. Come on. Why? Why? He called out for him. He's ready to be touched by the man. He has faith. Calvary Road. But what do they do? Why? Get out of here. Come on, buddy. You're sitting in the back tomorrow. I know. Next week. Where are we at times? We gotta watch ourselves doing praise and worship. And we're about the end. Been praising the Lord for 45 minutes. Presence of God's there. And somebody gets up, comes down the altar, walks through the pastor, hey, I need prayer. Where's our hearts at? Like, why'd you wait 45 minutes? Man, I got a turkey at home, cooking right now. Do we get that way at times? I'm not saying anybody here does. But over we say, oh, thank you, Lord. Man, they're about ready to close up praise and worship. Thank you, God, that person responded to your presence here today. Man, their lives will be changed. They're going to leave different. In fact, I need to be down there myself. That's how revival starts. Amen? This is sure. That's how revival starts, when our hearts is transformed to not just about ourselves, but other people also. Oh, boy, I'm glad they're down there right now. They need it. And we come to the altar to worship, to praise. We come for prayer. I always say, prayer partner, I'll come and I'll be in agreement with you. There's a lot of different reasons for it. But a lot of times, somebody will come down to the altar. You'll sit there a long time. You want to go down, but you don't want to go down. You want to go down, and you go down, and somebody else says, oh, man, I'm going down too. And next thing, and that's just what God does, you know. But yeah, they were telling this blind guy, hey, shut up and sit down. Oh, sit down. Thank you. Those in front of the crowd scolded him and warned him to be quiet. But the blind beggar screamed out even louder, Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy. Was he intimidated? No. Did he have his mindset that Jesus is who he said he is? And no one, no matter how big the crowd was, they're going to shut him down. He knew. And that's what we need to be too. And these days that we're in, we're now entering another mandates of all kinds of stuff coming up. It looks like that way. We got to be prepared. Is Jesus our Savior and Lord? Is he one that died and bled for us? Do we carry within us a truth that set people free? If it is, we're ready to take that stand and say, remember last time they said, listen, you guys are the problems. Not the bars. Not the blush shows and what they call them out in Las Vegas, they kept open. You guys are the problem because you come to church and you worship the Lord. You open your mouth up and that causes virus to go everywhere. That's what they said last time, guys. It's all a plot to shut down what God wants to do. Amen. I'm not saying not to be cautious. Understand? You're not following me. Amen? Is what I'm saying? But that shirt is a hand that is all coming to shut down what God's doing in the churches. So we gotta be prepared for that. And this is how loud we're going to yell for Jesus. Mm. And suddenly, though, Jesus stopped. After he screamed, show me mercy! Suddenly Jesus stopped, and he told his told those nearby, "Bring the man over to me." When they brought him before Jesus, he asked the man, "What is it you want me to do for you?" Well, the man already vowed that he wants have pity and show me mercy. So Jesus knew. I believe that he knew the guy had faith, because he's yelling at him. Okay? But he made him be more direct this time. "What is it you want me to do for you?" And always the same way sometimes in the presence of the Lord. Don't be afraid to say, "Oh God, I need this." Be direct with him. Sometimes you don't know what you need. "I just need to be different, Lord." Ever cry that out? He'll hear that. But if you be specific on your prayers, target your prayers, I believe you'll get a lot more, a greater response. "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord," he said, "please, I want to see again." Jesus said, "Now you will see. Receive your sight this moment. For your what? For your faith in me has given you sight and new life." Instantly he could see again. His eyes popped open and he saw Jesus. He shouted loud praises to God and he followed Jesus. And when the crowd saw what had happened, they too erupted with shouts of praise to God. Now, two things happened right there, and I'm closing up. Number one, what do you want? I know everybody's laughing as I'm closing up, but they said instantly. He could see again, his eyes popped open, and he saw Jesus. He shouted loud praises to God. He gave God the glory. He was yelling, sorry, hey, heal me, heal me. Bless you. I got my healing. I'm going down to the casinos. I can see what they've been cheating me all this time. But what was his first response? Praising God. Thank you, Lord. Woo! And I look at it. I mean, his eyeballs popped open. And the people in the crowd who was telling him to shut up, don't bother what they said. They started praising God. And when the crowd saw what happened, they too erupted with shouts of praise to God. Oh, look how quickly God can change things around. Man. Now, you can have a bad attitude. You see again. I'm going to let people see this. They're wanting to heal them too, and they yelled at me. They went out and do with me. They told me to shut up. They told me to shut up. And they see what he did to me, then they might be healed. They don't deserve it. But he didn't. He gave God the praise. Now, how many more people? In that moment, their faith grew to the point, man, that they were touched and healed by the Lord. The key today is faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith is birthed in our heart. When you read the scripture, just don't. You want to read it, but contemplate on it. Think about it for a minute. Isn't it amazing how much is just that one verse was put in there? You know? If three or four verses, I could preach another hour on them. But that's how God speaks to us. Let's build your faith. Build our faith that way. So this week, build more of your faith. We're going to continue next week on our prayer life. But if you don't have it available today, you got to go, I understand. But next week, if you could, if you want to, maybe you already got a prayer partner, but bring me in a description of who you're praying for, and I'll try to find scriptures I could stand on, and I'll email them or text you or call you on it. So, you know, but we'll stand on that, and we're going to see what God does. I remember a couple years ago we did that, and Bonnie, I remember you praying, we had a 30-day prayer thing, and it makes a difference. You know, we did that for Vicki McKee's husband, Steve McKee. He was, you know, and I'm not speaking against, he'll tell you up front. He was an alcoholic, drunkard, get drunk, mean person. And we was going through classes, we had to pick out someone to pray for 30 days. Couldn't tell one another. So we wrote it down and gave it to our mentor. And in the 30 days, we both were praying for Steve McKee, praying for the alcohol, it tastes like terrible stuff, binding that spirit of addiction, Steve McKee got set free. He got born again. When he passed away, he passed into the pearly gates. All because of prayer. The prayer does make a difference, you know. It really does. Yeah. But we'll continue next week on the prayer part. But again, if you have any type of prayer need today, as I close out this part, come down and we'll stand on the scripture with you together and pray with you. Let God do. God is tired of people getting beat up. God is tired of people getting thumped all the time. And he says, it's time for my people to raise up, take the authority I've given them, for they'll be set free, but also set people around us free. Amen? Well, Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. I thank you that Spirit is one that wraps us. As we were saying earlier, as Penny was sharing that with me, that the Holy Spirit is wrapped in his arms. He holds us at times when we need to be comforted. Then also he strengthens us and takes his arms that he wraps around us and takes over our arms and uses them for the glory of God. So Lord, we leave here today. We go out here stronger than we came in. We came in seeking you, Lord. We found you again. And we're leaving here, God, to be your hands, your feet, and your voice. May we see the way you see things, God. And may we respond the way the Master responded. We thank you, God. We thank you. We sit here today with hope. Hope for our own lives. Hope for the changes that's taking place in our life. But for the hope of those around us. Especially for our children, our children's children, Lord. And we declare their names shall be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They are our inheritance. We have a great inheritance, Lord. We speak healing over a nation through the blood of Jesus. Safety for our children in schools. And we pray for our country. We pray for continually eyes and ears to be open to recognize good from evil. And people will transfer from evil into good. That may we never be ashamed to share the truth. And not just share, but expect the changes that take place. Because all this, God, all this will bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.